Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, ngamihi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at CAB, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well. Ahi ahi Māori e, ko Ronnie aho. I'm your host for today along with Tom, our technical producer. This week in the studio, Tom and I are delighted to welcome one of our fellow interviewers at Citizens Advice, Vivian Booth. Today, Vivian will share with us some of the common questions and issues around immigration that we meet at CAB. She's going to update us briefly on recent changes, and she plans to focus on the things that we do and can deal with at CAB, as well as the ones we can't. But don't worry, she'll tell us where to go for further help. Good afternoon, Vivian. It's great to have you with us today. Can we just start with a very brief intro from you? For example, how long have you been an interviewer at CAB?
Thank you for having me. I've been a bureau worker with Citizens Advice Bureau since March 2016, so a few years now.
Well, I think you've been there longer than Tom and I have. I know that there have been some significant changes made to visas over the last few years and months that may affect some of our listeners. Maybe you could just give us a very, very brief overview of some of the areas or visas that have been affected.
Yeah, so a lot of the changes that have come about recently have been the post-COVID environment. So mainly we're getting inquiries about the accredited employer work visa and the resident visas such as skilled migrant category and the green list. So pretty much most of relevant policies from 2022 through to now, and there's been quite significant changes. So it's good to kind of keep up to date with Immigration New Zealand to make sure it's the most up to date.
Okay, I understand that some changes have been made really don't have much impact on a lot of people, so we don't have to worry about those.
Yeah, no, some of the more recent changes have been regarding the parent category and aren't quite relevant. So we'll just make sure for this chat we stick to things that we get as inquiries at CAB.
Excellent. So obviously immigration is one of the key areas we deal with quite a lot at CAB. Perhaps you could tell us a lot more or a bit more about some of the common issues that we deal with.
Yeah, so the most common visa inquiry and one of the most common visas here in New Zealand is the accredited employer work visa. There's a lot of information on Immigration New Zealand's website, both for employers and for migrants. Mm-hmm. And I guess the reason why we get those questions is, you know, you could be onshore here in New Zealand and be on a work visa or on a student visa or on a visitor visa, and you're wanting to work here in New Zealand long term, or you could be offshore looking to come to New Zealand with the intention to work. So the accredited employer work visa is employer-driven. So the first two steps the employer is responsible for in terms of they need to have accreditation and they also need to have a job check for the role that they're wanting to offer a migrant on the basis that there are no suitable New Zealanders. So the thing that migrants are interested in is the work visa, which is essentially the third step. You know, as a migrant, they will need an offer of full-time employment from an accredited employer. That employer does have to have a valid job check for the role they want to offer. And then the migrant does need to actually meet the skill requirements or the qualification requirements as stated in the job check, the minimum requirements from Immigration New Zealand. Depending on what's on the job check, that can vary. But at a bare minimum, Immigration New Zealand does require at least 2 years of relevant work experience or an NZQF level 4 relevant qualification or a bachelor's. So there can be a bit of confusion regarding what the employer requires and what immigration requires. But on Immigration New Zealand's website, they've got very clear details about the criteria for eligibility, the process, and also the documents required for those kinds of applications. So, yeah, for work visas, it's definitely the accredited employer work visa that has the most interest
Right. Okay. So if people who are keen to come here don't actually meet some of those criteria, there's really no point in their actually applying.
Well, in order to apply, you do have to have an employer who's accredited with a job check. So it's not simply a case of apply for a work visa and then look for a job. You actually have to have the job offer before you can apply for the work visa.
Right. Okay. So that's a really common inquiry for, yep.
Yep, definitely for, like I said, people who are already in New Zealand who want to stay here and want to work, and people who have family or friends offshore who are interested in coming here for work purposes.
Right. Okay. So what are some of the other cases that come up again and again for us as volunteers at CAB?
Yeah, I guess unfortunately, one of the things we are seeing a bit of a trend in is regarding migrant worker exploitation. Oftentimes that is also linked to the accredited employer work visa because it is employer specific. You can only work for the specific employer in the specific role in the specific regions listed on your visa. So sometimes, you know, where an employer is taking part in exploiting migrants, there has been the creation of what's called the Migrant Exploitation Protection Visa as a means for that migrant to escape that employment as soon as possible. Information regarding this is really focused on the Employment New Zealand website in terms of what defines migrant exploitation. And that needs to be looked at in terms of meeting the criteria before you can apply for the Migrant Exploitation Protection Visa.
Okay, so that's actually on the employment website, not on Immigration New Zealand.
No, no. Right. Luckily, Citizens Advice Bureau, on our website, we do have a useful page regarding migrant exploitation and the links necessary both for Employment New Zealand and Immigration New Zealand. I mean, in terms of the key points, you have to report the migrant exploitation to Employment New Zealand if your intention is to apply for this visa, because it's based on the exploitation assessment letter that you get from Employment New Zealand, that you can even apply for the visa within the 1 month of getting your report of exploitation. And then if granted the visa, it's only valid for up to 6 months. And it can't be extended. It's really just to give migrants an opportunity to look at other employers, look at other options, or potentially to make plans to leave the country if required within that time frame.
Okay. So if they don't find a job after 6 months, then people are required to return home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anyone who's here on a temporary visa can only stay in the country as long as they're on a valid visa.
Right.
So every visa, whether it's a visitor visa, student visa, work visa, you know, one of the obligations you have is to remain legally in New Zealand. So either to leave the country before your visa expires or to apply and be approved a different visa, based on meeting the eligibility criteria for that specific visa.
So, Vivian, under what conditions can people apply for migrant exploitation?
So on Employment New Zealand's website, they clearly define what they constitute as migrant worker exploitation. So it is defined as migrant workers are exploited when their employer takes advantage of them or treats them unfairly and it causes harm to the worker. And that harm can be economic, social, physical, or emotional. But they do have a much more explicit list of common forms of exploitation, what constitutes that and what doesn't constitute that. But it is mainly an employment issue. So if people have concerns or questions about their relationship with their employer or any conditions in their contract that they don't feel are being met, then they should seek employment legal advice, whether that's through a community organization like Community Law or through an employment lawyer, because it is a legal definition in terms of employment law and what constitutes exploitation. Even in situations where it might not be exploitation, it still could be a breach of contract and a person still has their, you know, rights and entitlements under contract law for the employer to meet those obligations.
So it becomes an employment issue. We also do offer a clinic and that can be found on our website as well, just as a very brief kind of intro to that. Okay, so migrant exploitation, is this something that comes up a lot in your experience?
It's definitely an inquiry that we're getting from quite a few migrants. It's hard to know how much it actually affects people because migrants are a vulnerable community, and fear of losing their visas or, you know, being reported for potentially also doing the wrong thing, breaching their visas by working in the wrong region because their employer told them to, or having had their hours dropped below 30 hours, but, you know, not telling Immigration New Zealand. So it is something we do get queries about, but it is an issue that's hard to address because migrants do have that fear of being, you know, deported, or, you know, they'll also get in trouble. So it is something Immigration New Zealand are trying to encourage people to come forward with by offering this migrant exploitation protection visa. And in terms of reporting the exploitation through Employment New Zealand, they offer both an online form and also a phone service that you can call. But essentially, if you are in this situation, you know, the best thing you can do is report it and then try and sort things out with Immigration New Zealand.
Right. Okay. So tell us about some of the other common questions that come up.
Yeah. So I guess just a bit briefly, the most common issues we get are often queries around partnership, whether that's a partner of a migrant or a partner of a New Zealander. In order to meet Immigration New Zealand's partnership requirements, you need to be in a genuine and stable relationship and have lived together. There is also another aspect called credibility, but really the main thing people get caught out on is the living together component. Especially if you happen to have met someone overseas or online and you haven't really lived with them. You might have spent 1 month or 3 months with them in their home country, but being on holiday doesn't count as living together. Living together for immigration purposes means, you know, having established a life. You have a job, you have a house, you have a shared bank account. So if you're living in New Zealand and you're visiting your partner overseas for 3 months, but your life is still established in New Zealand, that can be a challenge for people to show that they have actually lived together, and then let alone having all the documents and the evidence to support it, tenancy agreements, bank statements, utility bills. You know, it's hard to have those things if you're just on holiday.
Can I ask you what the situation would be then for people who perhaps have engaged in an arranged marriage and perhaps haven't actually, who are legally married, but perhaps haven't yet started their life together? Mm.
Yeah, so one of the challenges regarding partnership requirements can be those cultural or religious situations where you don't live together prior to marriage. And that would be a situation where it would be best to get some assistance from an immigration lawyer, an immigration advisor who specializes in your country of citizenship, to help navigate whether or not there is an exception to instructions or what is the standard way of proceeding. Otherwise, for a lot of people, if you don't meet the partnership requirements, you can't apply for a partner work visa or a partner visitor visa. You simply, you know, don't meet the criteria. So some people do try to go the route of applying for a visitor visa, but the catch there is you do have to meet the visitor visa requirements, which means being a bona fide tourist, coming for genuine reasons, having genuine ties back to your home country, and obviously you can't be misleading to Immigration New Zealand when getting the visitor visa about what is your purpose. So, you know, there are immigration advisors and lawyers who specialize in these kind of areas regarding partnership, particularly those where, you know, due to cultural or religious reasons, you may not have lived together, or at least not for a significant period of time. So, yes, it's one of the reasons why we tend to get a few questions about what does it mean, you know, to be genuine and stable, or to live together, or, you know, just unfortunately, just because you have a marriage certificate doesn't quite meet the standard for Immigration New Zealand.
Right. So that's certainly an area that CAB can't really help with.
No, we can kind of clarify in terms of, you know, on Immigration New Zealand's website, they do have a definition of partnership. They do give an example of some of the documents they expect. But I guess the one thing that's not, you know, able to be put on a website is how strongly or how important it is to meet, you know, the living together criteria. Because each relationship is going to be different, and Immigration New Zealand does assess cases, you know, case-by-case basis. So, you know, there were definitely some unique circumstances during COVID in terms of why people couldn't live together or couldn't continue living together. So they do give consideration to circumstances, but there does have to be, I guess, a base criteria or a bar which you do have to meet. Otherwise, you simply aren't eligible like any other form of criteria.
Right. Any other common questions, for example, around residency, permanent residency, visas in that area?
Yeah, so resident visas are a pretty much a specialist area. So with Citizens Advice Bureau, the amount of detail and information required both from the client and for the actual bureau worker to have the knowledge about resident visas, it's a bit out of our scope. So, I mean, I will discuss that a bit later in terms of why it's probably an area we can't assist with. We do get more common questions regarding the permanent resident visa, which is once you've been approved a resident visa, regardless of what category, after 2 years of residing in New Zealand, X amount of days per year, plus meeting character requirements, you may be eligible to apply for the permanent resident visa. I guess the biggest question is just clarifying that it is from when your resident visa is approved and that time previously spent on a work visa or a student visa, you know, doesn't count towards that. So just making sure you're calculating your dates correctly in terms of when you may actually be eligible for that permanent resident visa. And similarly, citizenship, not actually an immigration question, but still one we get questions about. It's the same kind of criteria in sense of from the date your resident visa was approved and came into effect, it's 5 years from that date. So once again, not counting time previously on a work visa or a student visa or any other kind of visa. And that can be difficult because that information is actually through the Department of Internal Affairs or New Zealand government. And they use different wording or they use words like reside in New Zealand differently from Immigration New Zealand. So different government agencies use the same words but with different meanings, causing a bit of confusion. So, yeah, 5 years for citizenship is from when your resident visa was approved. And then once again, there is an eligibility criteria based on X amount of days in each of those 12-month periods towards the 5 years from the date you apply, plus character requirements, plus your intention to live in New Zealand permanently. So, yeah, when it comes to citizenship, you should actually be referring to Department of Internal Affairs or the Government NZ website to confirm eligibility criteria, not Immigration New Zealand.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying that. I think that might be an area of misconception for some people. Yes, I can hear.
Yeah, definitely get a few people saying, I have an immigration question, it's citizenship. No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the things that we at CAB can actually help clients with?
Yeah, so Citizens Advice Bureau, we're definitely focused on making sure that people are able to access relevant information and able to navigate government websites or know about community organizations that may be able to assist. So CAB is an organization based on volunteers. So we're not lawyers, and we do come from a wide range of backgrounds and have different areas we're more comfortable with than others. So, you know, one of the things we pride ourselves on is being able to assist people in navigating that, you know, publicly available information or knowing who you may be able to contact for further assistance. At CAB, we do have a phone line to Immigration New Zealand where we can make certain inquiries about current visa applications or to clarify questions that we might have. And we do also run an immigration clinic where we do have some wonderful immigration lawyers who give up their time free of charge to assist our clients where they can. But what we can't do is recommend, you know, a private lawyer or a private immigration advisor. We can only assist you in terms of, you know, navigating government websites, community organizations, and also potentially assisting with drafting applications or filling in support forms that might accompany an application.
I'm interested in the comment you've made about filling in applications and things, because I know a lot of things are actually online and it's almost impossible to access them unless you've got an account and a login, etc. So how on earth can someone, for example, from CAB assist?
Yeah, so obviously one of CAB's big pet peeves, I guess, is about digital exclusion and the role that's happening with everything moving online. So yeah, with Immigration New Zealand, to access their online portal, you do need that assistance to set up a RealMe account and then create an Immigration New Zealand login to verify the email. So, you know, it is something that a CAB volunteer may be able to assist you with. Otherwise, you know, it might be something worth giving Immigration New Zealand a call if you're happy waiting on the line. But yeah, unfortunately, with those online services, it does make it a bit difficult to assist people if you can't see what's required.
Is it possible to download the form so that people can actually see in advance? Because it's really
unfortunately, with the accredited employer work visa, which is the number one thing, the way it works is the employer, through their job check, is given a number of tokens depending on how many positions they applied for during their job check. So if they said they only need one migrant, they get one token. If they say they need five migrants, they get five tokens. So these tokens end up being generated as an email link that is emailed to the migrant that they can click on to then generate the online application form. So there's no way for a third party or an individual to just log into Immigration New Zealand and access an accredited employer work visa application form, because you need to have been sent a link directly from the employer for that specific role, for that specific job check. So it does create a challenge in terms of, yeah, services like Citizens Advice Bureau, where we can't, you know, give people advice in advance about what might be on the form. But if you've already been able, you know, or if we're able to assist you in accessing the link and setting up the account, once we can see the form, we can try and assist you working through the pages bit by bit. Or, you know, if people, whenever assisting with applications, if you can fill in as much as possible and then come to us with the bits you're unsure of, that always, you know, helps with time saving.
I think that that's probably the by far the best. So what else cannot CAB help us?
Yeah, so mainly the things that CAB can't assist with is where you do require in-depth knowledge or assistance. I mean, under the Immigration Advisors Licensing Act of 2007, to give New Zealand immigration advice, you either need to be licensed as an immigration advisor or exempt from licensing, such as being a lawyer. Or in this case, Citizens Advice Bureau are exempt from licensing, but it does kind of highlight the fact that immigration is a specialist area and it is government regulated to ensure that migrants are getting correct advice. So as volunteers, we can't always be expected to be an expert in everything, whatever inquiry it might be. Yeah, where people need that in-depth knowledge, they may need to talk to a lawyer or a licensed immigration advisor. I mean, to give a bit more detail, as I said, resident visas are probably one of the big areas where, you know, you can go through the information on Immigration New Zealand's website, give it a good read, look at the criteria, look at the document requirements. But in terms of ensuring you meet the criteria, it's very strict. And there's really no discretion.
There's no flexibility.
There's no discretion with Immigration New Zealand. And it is very expensive, the application fees, and with very serious consequences if it's wrong. So, you know, everyone is entitled to submit an application on their own behalf, but there are sometimes times when you may wish to get some specialist assistance just to ensure that you are applying for something you're eligible for rather than you know, wasting your money and wasting your time.
Right. Many migrants who do come to us really perhaps English is not their first language, and there is a continuum, I think, in terms of comfort level with speaking English. What would you suggest, what do you suggest to clients to do? And what can we do for them in terms of language support?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I've had feedback from migrants that at least coming in face-to-face definitely makes the language barrier a bit easier. There's something in, you know, human body language and communication where, because CAB does have the ability to have those face-to-face inquiries, that helps. But we do encourage people to, you know, bring a support person or a translator of your own if you really feel that, you know, it's going to be a challenge for you to express your situation and for you to understand the advice we're giving. Otherwise, CAB does have various language assistance services that we can take advantage of, especially for the more common languages, or we may need to make an appointment with a translator if it's one of the less common languages on the service. So we will definitely try to assist people with language support where we can for any inquiry, not just immigration.
Absolutely. So thank you. Any final points you want to make, Vivian? What do you want us to take away?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of kind of, it's hard to say things we can't help with, but I guess just to kind of highlight when you may need to actually go talk to a professional, anytime you have concerns around character issues. So on our CAB website, one of the pages we have is if you're here in New Zealand on a work visa and you get a drink driving conviction, you know, will you be deported? And that's a very serious concern, and unfortunately it is a question that does come up with some of our clients. Because, you know, while you're here on a temporary visa, you are obligated to abide by the laws of the country. And there are certain considered criminal acts. And drink driving or dangerous driving can be considered a criminal act or a criminal conviction. So there can be a bit of, not misunderstanding, but in other countries, you know, maybe driving offences aren't considered serious. But here in New Zealand, you know, if it could have a potential outcome of 3 months imprisonment, even if that's not what the judge decides, even if they choose to give you a fine and you pay the fine, there still can be those implications for your visa and a potential, you know, possibility for deportation, or at least it negatively impacting future visa applications. So when you do get those kind of issues, hopefully don't go out on, you know, cause criminal convictions on purpose. But there are times when you are going to need to get a lawyer who understands both the criminal conviction aspect and the immigration implications to make sure you're getting the correct advice and you understand what the outcomes might be, other things are health issues. Once again, one of the criteria is that you have to have an acceptable standard of health to be eligible for a visa, because we do have publicly funded healthcare systems and AWS funding in schools. So, yeah, where people do have severe developmental disorders or severe cognitive impairments or, yeah, ongoing health conditions that might be a cost to the healthcare system or on resources, it is something that can show up in your medical tests. So where serious medical issues come up, it once again is a good place to get some advice. Other things are custody, adoption. Once again, those are family law issues.
Right.
The immigration stuff is secondary. Immigration New Zealand can't make decisions if the custody documents aren't sorted, if the adoption documents aren't sorted. So, yeah, that comes up from time to time. And refugees and asylum seekers, anything on humanitarian grounds is definitely a specialist area. So, yeah, we can give some general advice as per Immigration New Zealand's website, as per Community Law's website. But in order, you know, if someone's got those kind of questions, they should be directed to a specialist, because they are specialist areas. Mm. Yeah.
These are very complex, aren't they? Well, Vivian, thank you so much for the clarity, talking us through some of those big issues that come up again and again from our clients who really obviously want to stay but need to know how they fit the criteria to be able to do so. So, Vivian, thanks so much for joining Tom and me in the studio today. It's been great to have you with us. Even though we also work at CAP,
yeah,
we always learn new things. And I see Tom's nodding beside me as well. And we really appreciate all you do for the community. And so thanks for your time today.
No, that's good. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, happy to talk about CAB anytime.
Oh, thank you. Vivian's overviewed in very general terms some of the changes to the visas and regulations. She's discussed some of the issues we often deal with, migrant exploitation, drink driving charges, and all of the implications for people's visas there. She discussed at length the accredited employment worker visa, as well as other common questions and maybe misunderstandings around partnership visas, permanent resident visas, citizenship, and so forth. She's also highlighted the things we can help with and the things we're unable to help with and where to go for specialist advice when help is needed. And she overviewed a number of things that probably fit into that category. And finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mā te wā. Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains FM website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at CAB in person, by phone, emails, and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate, and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora. Thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.